In those days came John the Baptist preaching in the wilderness of Judea and saying, Repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. For this is he that was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah, saying, The voice of one crying in the wilderness, Prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight. And the same John had his raiment of camel's hair and a leathern girdle about his loins, and his meat was locusts and wild honey. And we'll stop reading right there. I'm interested in verse number 3 for the service tonight. Just challenge your heart and mind with that word in verse number 3, the word prepare. For this is he that was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah, saying, The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his paths straight. You can be seated. Let's go to the Lord just a moment of prayer. Father, we come in Jesus' name, Lord, to the throne of grace. We ask you, Lord, that you would help us, Lord, tonight to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit. Lord, help me to say nothing more, nothing less than that which, dear Lord, would be honorable to you and pleasing to you, Lord, in the service tonight. And I pray, dear God, that you'll just develop in us tonight the thoughts that you have spoken to us about throughout the day. And Lord, we'll thank you and give you praise. Lord, I pray this service tonight will not be in vain. I pray that you will speak to us and through us tonight. Lord, we cannot do anything without a word from you. But if we can get a word from you, Lord, to our spirit, Lord, it will have an impact and an influence, Lord, on our life. I pray your will to be done. Thank you for these that have, Lord, made their way out to the house of the Lord tonight. Help us to get beyond the physical tonight, beyond, Lord, the circumstantial, beyond, Lord, the national, the economical, the political. Help us to get beyond all that tonight and settle down at your feet and allow you to speak to us tonight through your precious word. Lord, I pray you'll use the message tonight to help us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I'm interested in that word prepare in verse 3 of chapter number 3. And you'd do well, I would do well, to do a study in the scriptures concerning the word prepare. It's all in the Word of God from Genesis all the way through to Revelations. There is the emphasis and the importance of the word prepare. And here it shows us some things, and I want to just share those with you tonight. And probably not going to be very long because I want us to take some time. I know y'all don't believe that. I'm hoping the Lord will get in it, and I won't believe it. Amen. I'm hoping the Lord will get in it tonight and challenge us and speak to us. But that word prepare in verse number 3 simply means to make ready. To make ready. There's other words that was in that definition, but that's the one that seems to summarize what the meaning of that word is. To make ready. That's another word that'd be good for you to study on sometime. It's used several times in the scripture as well. Paul used it numerous times. And that's the word ready. He said, I'm ready to be offered. The time of my departure is at hand. He said, I'm ready to preach the gospel to them that are at Rome also. You know, he was saying he was ready. Amen, he was ready. I'm ready. In 2 Timothy 4, he's ready to be poured out, you know, like an offering. He's ready to be poured out. And that one word probably summarized Paul. He was ready. Are we ready? If we're ready, that means we're prepared. Amen. We've put in the necessary time and effort of preparation. And I guess what has got me on this word is youth camp is coming up starting Monday, and got a lot of pressure. I feel a lot of pressure on it. We got a new camp facility. We've never used that. And then we are opening it up for other kids from other churches, and they're coming in, some of them three and a half. Close to 4 hours drive to have their kids in our camp. So they're entrusting us with their kids. And as I mentioned this, I mentioned it Sunday, I guess, if it was just fun time and playing and laughing and just cutting up. Amen. They wouldn't be near as much pressure. But that's not our main emphasis. That's not our main calling card. We don't want people to say, hey, you need to send your youth group to RBT Youth Revival Camp because they have these activities and you'll have a big blast and a big time. We want that said, but not as our main calling card. We want the services to be the main thing that people say, oh, listen, you need to go up there because God will speak to you. And they emphasize the importance of prayer. They emphasize preaching and they emphasize old time worship and so on and so forth. That's been the case thus far, and we're not going to change. Amen. And in our emphasis, very clearly in my heart, is becoming what we're titling the youth camp now is RBT Youth Revival Camp. It's about seeing another generation get a hold of God and God get a hold of them. It's about another generation, whether it's one girl or one boy or 10 boys or 10 girls or whatever, we're interested in God getting a hold of one or two or a handful or a youth group even, and them get on fire for God. Not just an emotional thing, not just a temporary thing that fades out by the time they get home or by the time 2 or 3 weeks rolls past after youth camp is over with. We don't want that. We want lives changed. We want God to put fingerprints on people's lives. Amen. That's right. And next week, all the time, all the money, all the labor, all the sleeplessness, all of the fatigue, every bit of it, if one young person gets a hold of God and makes permanent commitments to God, it'll be worth it all. Amen. If one says yes to God and surrender their life to God, amen, and purpose in their heart, they're going to walk with God and serve God and do the will of God, it'll be worth it all if just one. That's right. Because one can do great things. You look at the individuals in the scripture that God uses. But anyway, back to my thought on what stirred this in my mind is I've been asking myself the question, are we ready for this camp? Are we ready for this camp? Now, I'm not talking about we, just a few workers or the workers, counselors. I'm talking about our church. This is an important ministry of RBT, has been and now is seemingly going to go to another level of importance as our scope of influence spreads out to people of other churches and other states as well. So are we ready? That's my thing. Are we ready? Are we prepared? Are we prepared? I know there's been several already involved in praying earnestly about the youth camp, amen, for God to work, amen. And we're wanting to pray at the end of this service tonight concerning our youth camp. Of course, we'll have other prayer requests as well. But that word simply means to make ready. And to give you an idea of kind of what's involved in that, I found that it's used in Matthew 22 in verse number 4, and you ladies can probably no doubt relate to this, but in Matthew 22 in verse number 4, it's used in that verse of scripture as a man who has prepared his dinner. And of course sends out the invitation, you know, all things are ready, all things have been prepared. But it talks about, he said, I have prepared my dinner. So you ladies understand, you that cook in here, you know what all that implies, don't you? Cooking a meal, buddy, you don't just, well, I mean, you've got the instant and you got the, just throw it in a microwave and mash a button until it beeps and there it is and it's done. Of course, it tastes like a cardboard box most of the time. I used to, when I was in Bible college, I didn't have time for anything. I'd run from work, drive like Jehu, you know, and get to where I was staying. And a lot of times when I'd be trying to get ready and rush and not be late for class, I'd throw a TV dinner in the oven. How many's eat TV dinners? Oh, you ain't lived if you've eat TV dinners. Hey, you want to eat one of them or two before you go to heaven. That way you'll be very grateful for the marriage supper. Amen. That's right. Amen. You're hungry when you can engulf a TV dinner. That's right. And I was, but I was walking personification of hunger Amen, that's right. Just trying to get to class, and then afterwards, you know, you had to stay up half the night doing work and papers and trying to memorize things and all of that sort of thing. Then get up and go to work next morning, work full 40-hour week job and try to do all that. I'm telling you, Bible college about made an infidel out of me, I'll just tell you, friend, especially history and English, man. But I don't know how I got on that. But chapter 22, I'm going to quit that if we're going to be up here a few minutes, right? But 22:4, Matthew shows that it has the idea of preparing a meal. So you have all of your components. You think it through. I need this item. I need these items. I need this ingredients. I need this. I need to mix this together. I need to set the heat on this, and I need to do that. And you go through, ladies. You make it look easy, and you got everything lined out. Amen. That's what the word prepare means. But then I found this today, and I don't know why I've never seen this before, but I like doing a study of finding where a word is used elsewhere. And guess where else come to mind? I thought, it stirred my curiosity, and I wondered if that was one of the words, and I looked it up, and sure enough, in the lexicon, it was definitely there. And that is in John 14, verse number 2, and also verse number 3. How many knows those verses? Amen. And I'm going to read that to you. You can turn there if you like. But in John 14, and verse number 2, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. Here's the same word now. I go to prepare a place for you. And then again in verse 3, and if I go and prepare, there it is, prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And I thought about that and made a little note. I'm glad for the preparation Jesus has made for me. I'm glad for the preparation Jesus has made for us. Amen. Calvary wasn't an afterthought of God. The crucifixion of the Savior wasn't plan B. No, that's all in His preparation for us. But He said, when He's ascending back, He said, I'm going to go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. How many of us in the service tonight are glad for the heavenly preparations for us? Thank God we've shouted about that. I don't know how many times I've used John 14 in funerals, and I don't know how many times even at a bedside, you know, in the hospital when somebody's sick or when somebody's dying or when somebody's really facing a hard time in their life. I've used John 14 many times to just comfort them. Why? Because it gets our mind off of the nasty now and now, and gets our mind on that day when we're going to leave this world and go to my Father's house, amen, and step out of all of this and step into all of that, and that is what He has prepared for us. Now, we can shout about that. We ought to be able to shout about that. Used to, that would be a high service, amen, in church. When you get to thinking about leaving here, leaving all the troubles, heartaches here, and stepping out of time, and stepping into eternity, and stepping into the bliss and the glory, amen, of eternity, amen, into the presence of God, and all that He's prepared for us, amen. We can shout about that tonight. But our text in Matthew chapter 3, it's not dealing with the hereafter and the heavenly. It's dealing with us preparing for Him. It's not dealing in our text tonight with Him preparing for us. No. But it's dealing with us preparing for Him. I thought that was pretty good. Amen. And let me give you this verse. And it goes along with that in Hebrews 11 and 16. It's used there again. But now they that desire a better country, that is a heavenly, wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for He hath prepared, there's the word, same word in Matthew 3:3. He said in verse number 16, for He hath prepared for them a city. Thank God. Thank God for the heavenly preparations that God has made for us. But I think that if we're appreciative of that, we're appreciative of what God has prepared for us, I think that it ought to show by us doing some preparation for Him. Say amen right there. Hey, amen, that's right. And churches today are not drying up and becoming dead and dull because of a lack of preparation on God's part for us. Oh, no. He's got all that covered. The problem is on our part of not preparing for Him. Amen. Now listen, why did God, you think about it, God could have just spoke the word and it had been done, but Jesus said, I'm going to prepare a place. I'm going to prepare a place. And I've got ideas of what all that's talking about. It's evidently in John 14, it's not talking about the mansions, because he said in verse number 2, in my Father's house are many mansions. So the mansions were already there. But anyway, a lot of people's got different opinions about what he's talking about when he said, I go and prepare a place for you. Some people believe that it has to do with the blood. I'm going to take the blood. When I become the sacrifice and I'm buried and I rise from the dead, I'm going to take the blood and I'm going to put it on the mercy seat. I'm going to prepare a place of acceptance, a place where you will have throne rights, a place that God, you can go to God based on the blood that's on the mercy seat. And that may be in there. It may all be in there. Mansions, all of it may be in there. I don't know. We'll find out one of these days. But anyway, let me just give you some things. Write them down if you'd like. Number one, and these are just some things the Lord spoke to my heart about as I was trying to meditate a little bit on that word prepare. And not just in light of youth camp, but I think our church needs this now. Amen. A lack of preparation will lead to a lack of manifestation of the Lord. As in our text, and you'll see it as we go through here, that what the Lord does or does not do is connected to what we do or do not. Amen. Amen. Well, if we can get a hold of that, that would help us. We think that whatever God does is going to be sovereign. Whatever God does, He's just going to make the decision and do it. No, a lot of what God does is connected to you and I and what we do or what we don't do. Are you listening? And a good example of that is the conditional promises of the Bible. There's many of them. Conditional promises basically says, if you will, I will. That's what a conditional promise is. If you'll do this, then God responds and says, I will do this. Or I will do that. Amen? And so if we could get a hold of that, much of what God is going to do in our church, much of what God does, listen, I'm talking about across the board, all the ministries, Sunday school, youth camp, whatever. Amen. What God does is connected to what we do. Amen. It's evident that we can limit God. That's talked about in Psalms 107, and it's illustrated in various verses. Probably one of the best ones, Ephesians 3:20. Now unto Him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. The first part of that verse is hinging on the last part of that verse. If that power working in us, which is no doubt referring to the Holy Spirit and His in working in our life, amen, if there's a grievance there, if there's a hindrance there, then His hands are tied and He is hindered and He's limited. We can quench the Spirit. We can grieve the Spirit, amen. And so anyway, let me just give you this. First of all, if I don't hush here, I'm going to be here a little dark. The first thing that I wrote down, and this just spoke to me, simple as it could be, is number one, there's a requirement of preparation. There's a requirement of preparation in our text. He said, repent ye, for verse 2, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand, for this is He that was spoken of. Listen, for this is He that was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord. Now, note this. This is simple now. But the fact that God said, prepare ye, that's letting us know that the preparations has not been made. That's letting us know that there's some work that needs to be done. Amen. There's some attention that needs to be given to this. And that is where I get that word requirement. The requirement. Things, I wrote this down, things are not naturally prepared for the spiritual. In fact, those are two opposites, the natural and the spiritual. Amen. Amen. And so Jesus is giving, the Word of God is giving orders here, prepare ye the way of the Lord, meaning those that it's the way of the Lord is not prepared. It needs some attention. It needs maintenance. It needs a crew to get involved and prepare the way of the Lord. I want to say it again. Things are not naturally prepared for the spiritual, the holy, or the Lord. Amen. This world is not a natural place for the Lord. You see how they treated him when he was here? We have a record of it right here. We have a record right here. And if he were to come back today and submit himself under the actions of men, they would put him on a cross again. They would tie him to a whipping post again. Why? He is the personification of the spiritual, the holy, the heavenly, the divine, the eternal. And he's come to a world that is cursed in the natural realm. And the natural realm and the natural man is against God. Your flesh is referred to in Scripture as the natural man, and it's against God. The natural man will not prepare a way for the Lord. In fact, that's why we need the spiritual man, the new man. Amen. It's because the old man, the natural man, will not prepare for the Lord. So there's a requirement of this. There's a requirement of this. Amen. And I had numerous other scripture that, to give you based on what that word prepare is and how it's used elsewhere and what it would imply. But there's a requirement of it. And that's a simple thought, but do we look at this preparation, spiritual preparation, do we look at it as a requirement? Now, I want to tell you what we're most of us are guilty of, and probably all of us are guilty of at times, one time or another, or at other times, and that is we treat the spiritual as optional. We have a Bible right here that is very clear, very plain to us about the spiritual requirements of God in your life and mine, right? Ignorance is no excuse. We have a printed page of it, and most of us have heard enough preaching and teaching and from our godly heritage, our parents, grandparents, amen, Sunday school teachers, whatever. I'm telling you, we've been exposed to this Bible. And the spiritual is not optional to God. God never treats the spiritual as optional. Never. It's always that he treats the spiritual as essential, as necessary. And so there's a requirement of this. If God is going to move in the youth camp, if God is going to move in the VBS, if God is going to move in the youth revival, if God is going to move in Sunday school and Sunday morning and Friday night jubilee, if God is going to move, there's a requirement of preparation. Amen. Number two, write it down. See, we're moving along. Number two, there is not only the requirements of preparation that I see here, but also there's a responsibility of preparation. Note the term there in verse number three, prepare ye. In other words, God is saying you do it. Amen. You do it. Now listen, you've heard me make this statement that there is a connection, inseparable connection between spirituality and responsibility. Amen. And we all, listen, for be honest, we all struggle in those areas. We all struggle in those areas of spiritual responsibility. I was coming over the road over here and I was just praying for the service tonight again. And I said, Lord, I've failed again. And I named off some areas and see if you can relate to them. I said, Lord, I've failed in the area of devotion. I've failed in the area of desires. I failed in the area of discipline. Are you listening? That doesn't mean I've been out, you know, chasing wild women, and I've not. It's not that I've been drinking Bud Stupid, Miller Low Life. I've not touched a drop since I got saved 35 years ago. I want to tell you what, friend, if you're interested in being right with God, little things matter. Little things become big in your heart when your desires are not exactly where they need to be. Amen. When we're not walking, Brother Craig, in a state of God consciousness. Walking in a state of God consciousness. Walking throughout the day alert to Him and His closeness and Him being within us and conscious of His will for our life. Amen, that's right. But there's responsibility. Prepare ye. You do it. Amen. I wrote down, nothing spiritual is automatic. Nothing. Nothing spiritual is automatic. You ought to write that down. Because I guarantee you could relate to that in your life. Nothing, I didn't say most, I said nothing spiritual is automatic. It doesn't just happen. You have an automatic transmission in your car, Brother Carroll. That means it just changes gears on its own. Say amen. I like that analogy. We just put it in drive and put the pedal to the metal. Amen. And every once in a while find the brake. But we like that. Used to, you couldn't have given me growing up. You couldn't have given me an automatic. Why? Because I like to double clutch. Some of y'all don't even know what I'm talking about, double clutching. Huh? Or, you know, four cylinder. About have to turn it over to get that back wheel kind of up a little bit where it'll scratch a little bit. Hey, man. But after I had gotten used to all in them mountains and curves and going to college, Bible college back and forth up in Beasley Mountain and all that, I got so sick of mashing the clutch. I got so sick of downshifting and upshifting and outshifting. I got sick of that. I said, Lord, help me if I can ever find me an automatic of some sort. Amen. I'm getting one. Put it in drive and I like it. Hey, man, that sounded like a Chevrolet, but it wasn't really. Chevrolet. I'm just kidding. But listen, that's what we want. We want that same convenience and that same. You know why I wanted an automatic? I didn't have to do much. All I had to do was drive. Just put it in drive and just smash the pedal. If it needed upshifting, it done it on its own. If it needed downshifting, it done it on its own. If it needed first, second, third, overdrive, whatever, it just took care of it. That's the kind of spiritual life. That's a mentality we've got about the spiritual life. We want an automatic spiritual life where we just kind of just throw it in drive whenever and wherever, and hopefully God will just do the rest. Whoop, whoop, whoop. That's right. Oh, yes, friend. But nothing spiritual is automatic. Amen. In this text, people are the agents. Prepare ye. People are the vessel that God wants to use. Amen. So anywhere there's deadness and dryness and dullness in your spiritual life or in a church, you can count on it. There's been a failure of responsibility. Somebody's not praying. Somebody's not reading the Bible. Somebody's opened the gate. Somebody's let sin in. Somebody's let defilement in. They've let their mind drift. They've let their desires turn carnal. You can count on it. There's something grieving the Holy Ghost. Amen right there. So write it down. Number one, requirements of preparation. Number two, the responsibility of preparation. Number three, the recipient of preparation. Prepare ye, what does it say? Everybody looking at it? Prepare ye the way of the Lord. This got big to me. Now, I've preached from this text several times in revival. But God give me this just fresh today, just some thoughts. The preparation, Brother Fultz, about this path is not for me. That, if that gets big in you and gets big in me, it'll help us to make a difference, amen, in how we respond to the will of God and the Word of God. Listen, this preparation is not about me. This preparation, Brother Carroll, is not about me. This preparation is, the Bible said, prepare ye the way of the Lord. It's for Him. Boy, that right there would help us if we could get that for Him mentality. Amen. Amen. People fusses and fights about separation and sanctification and I can't do this and I can't wear that and I can't go yonder and I can't smoke this and drink that or whatever. And they get upset. Well, hey, listen, it's not about you. Separation is not about you. Sanctification is not about you. No. Preparation is about Him. It's you making a way for the Lord. Preparing a way for the Lord. He's the recipient. We're the ones responsible, but He's the one, the recipient of it. I thought that helped me. I wrote it down. It's from me, but it's not for me. This preparation. It's for the Lord. And you'll have to agree with me, most of our preparation we do in life is self-focused. The end result is self. Most of the decisions we make, most preparations we make is for ourselves and not for the Lord. And you know what? To prepare a way for the Lord, the Lord's going to have to matter to you. The Lord is going to have to be more than just a religious figure and a Bible character to you. So anyway, you got that. It's all about the path for the Savior. And you know what a path is, really? A path, I looked it up, prepare ye the way of the Lord. The word way there means a road, a traveled road. Prepare ye the way, a traveled road, a route for journey, a highway. Now, I don't have to ask you. This is just a given. I don't have to ask you. But when you got to church tonight, you came from somewhere to here and you traveled on a path. So a path is for the purpose of getting from point A to point B or from where you are to where you need to be. The whole purpose of preparing the way of the Lord is so that He can get to where we are. Prepare ye the way of the Lord. And John the Baptist was hearing this. He's preaching this. He's receiving the word and he's preaching it. And guess what? He was the forerunner of the Lord. So the path that he preached and he encouraged people to prepare for the Lord, amen. Guess what? That's the same path that Jesus come walking on. Amen. So if the Lord's going to show up at Wednesday night service tonight, if the Lord's going to show up Friday night Jubilee, if the Lord's going to show up at Sunday morning Sunday school and Sunday morning preaching time and Sunday night preaching time, if the Lord's going to show up at youth camp, God help us, amen, or any other time, He's going to come walking on the path that has been prepared for Him. So we talked about the requirements of this preparation, the responsibility of this preparation, the recipient of this preparation. Number four, we're moving right along, aren't we? I don't know how long I preached, I forgot to start my watch. But number four, the resolve of preparation. The resolve. And that's just a word, it means I need to be determined. I've got to be committed on this thing. It's not going to be easy. The resolve, where do you get that? I get it in two different places. Verse number one, I get it in verse number one. Actually, I see another one. I just saw another one just now. But verse number one, if I can remember it, verse number one, in those days came John the Baptist preaching. All right, the key there is in those days. What days was it talking about? In those days. You have to go back to chapter 2. In those days, meaning in the days of Herod the king. When you go back to chapter number 2, that's when the wise men, the magi, the wise men came, to the Lord. They followed the star. They come to the Lord, or come to where the Lord was. And guess what? Herod found out about it, and Herod, I'm summarizing quickly, Herod said, go find him, and when you found him, bring me word again that I may worship him. How many of us believe that Herod really wanted to worship him? Herod was worshiping himself. Herod was realizing that there was one born king of the Jews, and Herod was a king, so there was a rival. Amen. He was looking at Jesus as being a rival, and what he wanted to do to a rival is to remove him. Of course, the wise men consented, and they were going to do that very thing. And when they found the Lord, they were going to take Herod's word. And, of course, God interrupted that. Thank God, God interrupted that. And those wise men was willing to listen to God, amen, and say, you know what? We're going to depart another way. We're not going back Herod's way. We're not going to take him word because he's got destructivity in mind. Amen. And it was seen by the fact that he commanded that all male children from 2 years old and under be killed. That was merciless. That's merciless right there, buddy. Amen. I mean, that's terrible, isn't it? That's worse than abortion. Abortion kills them when they're in the womb. I'm talking about 2 years old. Taking a two-year-old baby boy and killing them. I mean, just throw them in the Nile, cutting their heads off, whatever how they did it. I'm not sure how they did it, but I know this for a fact. And let me read this to you if I can find it right here. I got this off of another message that I preached. That's one of the things I try to save all my stuff. Hey, man, that's right. But there's listen, Herod had all three of his sons killed because he didn't want them taking his place. In those days. That's the kind of days that John was committed to preparation. It was in Herod days. Herod had all three of his sons killed, two of them which he had strangled to death. Herod, listen, he eliminated his brother-in-law, Aristobulus or whatever, who was at that time 18-year-old high priest, by having him drowned. He also had his, and I certainly can't pronounce this name, but it was his mother-in-law. He had his mother-in-law executed. He even killed his second wife. He had 300 military leaders executed just because they would not line up with him. I'm saying in those days. Sort of sounding like the direction America's going in. In those days, listen, amen, I wrote this down today. You cannot, listen, preparation is never circumstantial. Well, Lord, I'd prepare, but we got a Herod in the White House. I would prepare, Lord, but you see the political situation. I would prepare, Lord, but you see the economic situation. You see how the churches are doing. John was told to prepare a way for the Lord, even in Herod days. And of course, John ended up getting his head cut off by such a one. Amen. And there's a lot of preaching right in there. That's right. God, the devil used dancing. Hello. The devil used dancing and provocative dress to stir the lust of Herod, to open up his will to her. Anything you want to the half of my kingdom, you can have it. And of course, her mother said to the daughter that was doing the jiggling and wiggling, ask for the head of John the Baptist. And Herod, listen, there was just a fraction of favoritism of Herod toward John the Baptist. But when that came out, I want John the Baptist's head on a charger. He went through with it. Well, anyway, listen, it's all in there if you want to know the truth. Amen. It's right there. But there was Herod days. But here's another one. Not only were there the severity of Herod, there was the solitude of the wilderness. In those days came John the Baptist preaching where? In the wilderness. Hey, America's quickly becoming a wilderness. You can't blame the wilderness for your lack of involvement in spiritual things and your lack of preparation. You can't blame the wilderness. Wilderness is a dry, desolate place, even a dangerous place. A lot of people's died in the wilderness. Hello? There's 2.5 million come out of the land of Egypt under leadership of Moses, and every one of them died in the wilderness. Amen, I about failed. Y'all didn't even see that. Quick reflexes. Something to pray about. Quick reflexes. Amen. Might keep you from getting hurt one day. Say amen right there. Y'all ain't gonna believe this, but that was on my mind today. Seriously, before the Lord, it was. I thought, man, I need to start praying about that. Of course, I had youth camp in mind, but I didn't know it was going to come while I was preaching tonight. Amen. Thank you, Lord, for answering that prayer already. Amen. Hallelujah. I don't reckon I've ever prayed about that in my life. But it's on my mind today. Kept me from breaking a leg right there. Hallelujah. Amen. The solitude of the wilderness. You're going to have to deal with the wilderness. No excuse. You'll have wilderness experiences in your life. No excuse for preparation, spiritual preparation. All right, let's move on. We could talk about Moses spending 40 years in the backside of the desert. John spent 30 years in the desert. Jesus spent much of his early life off the grid of recognition from 12 years old till he stepped out on the scene at 30 years old. We don't even know much at all about him. We never hear nothing about him. So they all know what solitude means to spiritual life. Let me just give you this, and I'm going to move on. I've got, where are we at? Resolve. I've got two more. I believe two more, and they'll come quickly. I believe two more, maybe one more. You know why a lot of people don't like the solitude and the things that come spiritually to you through times alone with God? And you can talk, you can fuss about your wilderness, you can complain about your wilderness, but it'd be a good place to pray. Be a good place to pray. It's amazing how Jesus led a multitude into the wilderness before he fed them. There's a lot of positive benefits that come from a wilderness. But here's the reason a lot of people don't let their spiritual life develop in the solitude of a wilderness is because they're more interested in a social life. See, in the solitude of a wilderness, there's not much of a social life. There's not much of a social life. And that right there, you mark it down, meditate on it, let God give you some things on that. There's a big, big, big contrast between the social life and a spiritual life. And how many people in church never gets to first base or second base spiritually because they're more interested in their social life when God wanted to call them aside, come aside, spend some time in the closet, spend some time in secret, spend some time with nobody around, spend some time listening to me, spend some time loving on me, spend some time letting me lead you. But most people, I don't have time. I've got to be in my social network. I've got to be out there where I'm accepted, approved, and get the applause of men. I've seen it. I've seen preachers crumble when they got too interested in their social standing. Amen. But I want to tell you, you're talking about losing the power of God is when you get concerned about the social status. Amen. Well, there's that. So where are we at? Resolve. I believe that's where we was at. Resolve. Amen. Preparation. The spiritual preparation is never circumstantial. It'll always be, and I don't have time to turn there, but in Luke chapter 3, read it when you get home, Luke chapter 3, same identical setting, same identical passage, except Luke adds some details about pulling down the mountains, filling up the valleys, amen, straightening up the crooked. He's talking about that path, things you deal with. You got mountains and all of that. He's associated with repent ye. Repent ye's all the ways about sin. So he's saying them mountainous sins, we're going to have to deal with the difficult, and that's the mountains. Anybody ever tried to lower a mountain? It's a lot easier to leave a mountain than it is to lower a mountain. So you got to deal with the difficult too. You got to deal with the deep. That's the valleys. Some of them deep things. And then you got to deal with detours. That's the crooked or the curves. You got to deal with the difficult, the deep, the detours. And then you got to deal with the details, even them uneven places. Them uneven places. Just a little hump. Just a little bump in the road. But he said, we got to deal with that. All right, so let's move on and let's give you the last one. And this one simply, I've already dealt with it really. And that's the results of preparation. John prepared a way for the Lord. And there was a day that John was able to look over his shoulder while baptizing in the River Jordan, look up on the hillside, and there he is. Stood out. And John said, behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. Amen. Jesus come walking on that path of preparation. The results of you preparing, me preparing, hopefully our church preparing, the results is that one, it fulfills Scripture. It fulfills Scripture. For this is he that was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah saying, when John came on the scene preaching and preparing a way for the Lord, that verse shows us that John was fulfilling Scripture. When we prepare a way for the Lord, we're involved in spiritual preparation. We're fulfilling Scripture. You saw, but preacher, that Isaiah 40 in verse 3 was specifically about John the Baptist. Did you know the Lord? And this is a whole other message, but did you know the Lord has you in the Bible? Oh, wow. He got personal about John. That was about John. You know, he's got you in the Bible. He's got me in the Bible. When he said, be ye holy, for I, the Lord your God, am holy. The ye, that's you. Yeah, God's prophesied about you. God said, that's you right there. That verse is you. You're in the Bible. You're in that verse. Prepare ye the way of the Lord. Amen. So you're fulfilling Scripture, and then you find the Savior, for lack of a better thing. Amen. You'll be able to look around one day, and there will be the Lord moving on, manifesting Himself where you have been given to preparation. We need God to manifest Himself at RBT. Not occasionally, not every once in a while. We need God to manifest Himself regularly. Amen. Consistently. We need God to manifest Himself, but that won't happen without preparation. No preparation, no manifestation. That's right. And if I'm on the scene, there won't be nothing much happen. If you're on the scene, won't be nothing much happen. If we're all on the scene, won't be much nothing happen spiritually. But when He shows up, business picks up. Because when He comes, His power comes. When He comes, His purpose comes. When He comes, His purity comes. Well, I mean, there'll be some results. I believe I can just simply say that. There'll be some results. If we'll do the preparation, there'll be some results. Amen. And they'll be good ones. He'll show up. We need Him to show up, don't we? We need Him to show up, and we need Him to show out. We need Him to show off. We need Him to flex. We need His power. But you'll never have His power without His person. And amen, He'll not show up if He don't have the preeminence. Now, John was an important man. John the Baptist was an important man. Jesus said, prophets born of a woman, there's not one greater than John the Baptist. John the Baptist, buddy, wasn't some fly-by-night somebody. He only had a six-month ministry. Come out of the wilderness, had it, and preached 6 months, stood for God 6 months, and had his head cut off. What about that? But you know what his main ministry was? Prepare the way of the Lord and point him out. After he pointed him out, the disciples of John, I got scripture to show you, but the disciples of John shifted from being a follower of John to starting to follow Jesus. So when John prepared the way of the Lord, John pointed out the Lord, and then John preached to his disciples, "You didn't follow me, follow him." And when they started following him, his ministry was completed. Amen. And he did all that in 6 months. I've been at it 35 years, and I still can't hardly get people to follow the Lord. Amen. Amen. But anyway, there'll be some results. But there you are. I hope that fed you. That fed me. I hope it fed you.
God bless you. Thank you for visiting Rogersville Baptist Temple's website and for listening to this message preached at Rogersville Baptist Temple.